Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. I hope you all have been enjoying the lovely weather we've been having lately. I don't know how well you can see it in the light, but my head looks like two-thirds of a Neapolitan ice cream right now. I'll let you figure out which two-thirds. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to you this morning. So I want to start off with a quick story about why the topic of this message fits me. Going back to my sophomore year of high school, I used to play for a travel baseball team. And the baseball guys in our youth group will love this story. I was on a pretty good travel baseball team. Our coach was one of those guys who was all about wins, not so much about, you know, having fun and everybody playing. And I was one of the younger guys on the team, so I didn't play very often. Towards the end of the season, we had this game where we're up by 8 runs, and he finally puts me in the game. Now, I knew I had astigmatism, but I had never used corrective lenses for any of the sports that I had played up to that point. I didn't feel like I needed them. I remember he put me in center field. We had this big field back home in California. Center field was about 395, almost 400 feet. It was like a big league field. And I'm in center field, and I'm all excited, and I'm in my split stance. I'm ready to go, and I look, and the pitcher puts the ball behind his back because he's getting ready. He's getting a sign from the catcher what pitch to throw. And I can see the ball, but I realize I'm in trouble because I'm squinting really hard. I can barely see the ball. And so he comes set, and he winds up, and he throws the pitch, and the ball just disappeared. I could not see it, right? Now, the batter cocks his bat back and swings, and anyone who's played baseball before or been around the game, you know that ping sound. But for me, that was the sound of my stomach dropping. Because his launch angle let me know that the ball was heading towards the middle of the field somewhere, but I cannot see the ball. And I knew I was in trouble because all of my teammates stopped and just turned and looked at center field. So I feel all alone out there. I'm on an island. So I'm running backwards, trying to pretend like I know that the ball is up there somewhere, and I'm just kind of waiting for it to appear. And finally it does, and I think I'm right under it. So I put my glove up, and I squeeze, and there's no ball in my glove. And then I hear this whack sound behind me, and the ball hit the fence. So I run back, and I grab it. I throw it back in. What I didn't mention was the bases were loaded. Everybody scored. The runner gets to third. Now, coach didn't want to take me out of the game just yet because it was my first time playing in forever. And so, you know, okay, you had one bad play, sure. He moves me from center field over to left field. We make a little defensive substitution. And where do you think the next ball got hit? Line drive right at the left fielder coming 100 miles an hour. And I'm trying to figure out whether or not I should dive for it and catch it or take it off one hop and the guy gets a single. I can't quite tell. And finally, I just dive for it. I just go for it, man. I want to catch the ball. I misjudged it and I missed. And it hit me in the chest. And then it bounced to the side. So that runner scored. The batter gets to second. The 8-run lead is cut in half in 5 minutes. And I didn't play again. But I went to the optometrist, and what I found out was that little astigmatism that I had was 620 vision is actually what I had, 620 vision. Very bad eyesight. So I wore contacts from then on for when I played baseball. So it seems like it's only fitting that the topic of the sermon Dan would ask me to preach would be on blindness. A few of my friends from college are here, and you know they know that our friend group always kind of made fun of the fact that Tristan's blind, because even though I have these glasses, I hate glasses with a passion. So I don't wear them very often. I really only wear them when I absolutely need to. I'd wear them when I had presentations or I really had to read, but for the most part, I wouldn't wear them. And so you know it's bad when you go out on a date and your date has to read the menu to you so you know what to order. Now, there are 108 verses in the Bible that reference blindness. So it's a theme that's repeated regularly. 51 of those verses are in the Old Testament and 57 in the New Testament. So it's a pretty even distribution. It's all throughout the Bible. What I found striking, though, are the fact that 49 of those verses are found in the Gospels and 14 are found in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah in messianic prophecies. So in other words, Jesus and blindness are connected. Jesus is connected to the topic of blindness. Now, the topic of this message, as Dan mentioned, is not just blindness, but a specific type of blindness. It's spiritual blindness. In order to understand what spiritual blindness is, I had to look to the Greek New Testament. There's a word, "tuphlos," which is translated as blind over 20 times in the Gospels alone. It's the main word that they use in the New Testament when they talk about blindness. Now, "tuphlos" is translated as "darkened by smoke," which I thought was interesting. See, it's not that the eyes don't work. It's that something gets in the way that blocks the vision. Spiritual blindness, then, is the inability to see, understand, or discern spiritual truth because of cloudy vision or darkness. Spiritual blindness causes us to be unable to discern spiritual truth. Spiritual blindness causes us to focus on our flesh. Spiritual blindness is something that every single one of us deals with. The disciples suffered from spiritual blindness. Now, looking at the gospel lesson for this morning, in Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 14, Caleb, I think we have that, yeah. "Now they," the disciples, that's the disciples, "had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. Jesus cautioned them, saying, 'Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened?'" Now, I want you to understand that Jesus knows whether or not their hearts are hardened before he asks the question, right? It's a rhetorical question. See, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus walks on water. And towards the end of that story in verse 52, it says, "For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened," speaking about the disciples. So the answer is yes. Jesus is saying your hearts are hardened. So then when you look at verse 18, "Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?" Jesus is saying they didn't see. It's as if they were blind. And they didn't hear, nor did they remember. Now, what didn't they remember? See, just a few verses before this, if you read the beginning of Mark chapter 8, you'll see Jesus feed the 4,000 with just 7 baskets full of bread and a few fish. And prior to that, in Mark chapter 6, he feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So Jesus reminds them in verse 19, "When I broke the loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Jesus does something interesting here. He brings understanding into the picture. See, first he references physical senses. He references your ears and your eyes. And then he references more abstract senses. I would call them spiritual senses. He questions what's in their heart, and he questions what's in their mind. See, what he's saying is there's a correlation between what you see and what you hear and what you think and what you believe. The disciples had physical sight. They saw Jesus feed the thousands. What they didn't see was the significance of it. So perhaps they saw all of the miracles Jesus did as one-off events. They didn't realize that Jesus is the very bread of life, that he can sustain them in all situations. They weren't physically blind. They were spiritually blind. One minute they watch what God has done for them or done for someone else. They saw miracles right in front of them countless times. But just a few days later, they might be going through a new challenge, and now their faith is on the back burner, and their anxiety and their worry, that's what takes control. It's as if they hadn't already seen numerous times what God can do. And we do that too. We can treat God on a case-by-case basis. So no matter how many times he's worked in the past, each new problem in life we treat like an isolated issue. Our problems in life are not isolated, they're correlated. There's a pattern. There's a pattern in life. It comes in seasons, right? It comes in calm and then storm and then calm and then storm and then calm and then storm again. This shouldn't come as a surprise to us, even if the storms come in new forms than what we've seen before. You know the storm is coming. And all too often, our focus is primarily on this one new problem in front of us. And no matter how many times God has already led us through storms in the past, it's like all we can see is this present struggle. And we listen to those intrusive lies from the enemy, those lies that convince us we've never seen a problem like this before. This time it's different. The lies that convince us that there's a limit on how many times God's going to rescue us, or that there's a level of grace that we can reach that's too much grace and he's going to cut us off. Or the lie that says this problem is small and you don't even need to bother God on this one. You could handle this on your own. That's blindness. We're so blind. And the disciples were blind. They could see, but they didn't interpret what they were seeing. They knew Jesus was talking. I'm sure they could see his mouth moving. They heard the words that were coming out, but they didn't understand exactly what he was saying. They didn't interpret the meaning. I want to give you an example of how I think this went. Now, I love music, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that. I listen to a variety of different kinds of music, but my favorite genre by far, it's not even close, is rap music, hip-hop music. Now, I've been primarily listening to rap music since I was about 8 years old, and my uncle showed me a rap video on YouTube. So I want to do something. I want to try something here. And believe it or not, this was Dan's idea. I want to play for you a quick clip from a song by one of my favorite rap artists, Trip Lee. It's called 2020 Intro. And I want you all to just sit here and try to interpret to the best of your ability what the lyrics are saying. Let's go ahead and roll that clip. Spill it in every city. Vision is looking blurred. We gotta see 2020. Got ears but don't hear. Got eyes but don't see. How God we don't feel. These rhymes are so weak. Can't peek off into the mind. The God is holy. Our lives are so weak. But God is so heat. Yeah, he's perfect and flawless. He stands as the sand. And his stance is grand. Understand that he stands up. Always upright. We got a chance. It's the ransom be paid at the cross. Now let's find us some answers. What kind of guy would take some dudes and hand them eternal life for free? Through the grace that he grants them by faith, we've been changed. Used to roll as his foes, but he rose and he chose. Now we clothed in his clothes. It's kind of crazy. We out had ambitions of getting dough. He changed our character like an actor who's switching roles. This is the test of our best God that we living for. And I'm just hoping this album will help you get to know. Amen. Amen. Now, Bob, I don't know about you, but I think it's long overdue that somebody picked on Dan during a message, don't you think? You gotta get that little like glass tilt, you know, the disappointed father look. Now, Dan. What was that song saying?
I have no idea.
No idea. No idea.
None.
That's about what I expected. Go ahead and raise your hand if you feel like you understood what that song was saying. I see you, Daniel, Damari, Zach's got it. Yeah, man. Okay. Now, I really feel like this is kind of like what happened with the disciples. You see, you sit there and you see, right? You guys recognize the fact that somebody was rapping. You understood that he was saying words, but you weren't able to understand what was being said. Now, I would propose to you that that's because there was too many distractions that get in the way of you being able to hear the word that was being said. Maybe it was the loud music behind the words. Maybe it was his accent. Perhaps it's the use of slang. So on and so forth. See, the disciples went through a similar struggle. They heard the words that Jesus was saying when he preached or when he talked with them. Sometimes he spoke plainly, but sometimes he spoke in parables. It wasn't always easy for them to understand. No matter what he said or how he said it, they often missed the big picture. They got distracted. They missed the point. They just didn't get it. And that's a lot like us. The reason we don't get it is darkness. See, our vision is shrouded in darkness. The enemy wants us to walk around wearing blindfolds. The Apostle Paul in our epistle reading today says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 that the world that we live in, he calls it the domain of darkness. And a number of other times in the New Testament, they refer to this world that we live in as darkness. It's no wonder we're blinded. It's like we live in a world that it's like a room with the lights off at nighttime. Like there's no way you're going to be able to see because there's no light in there. We're meant to be worried about things. That's kind of what the world does in order to darken our vision. We're meant to be worried about the material and not thinking about the spiritual or listening to Jesus. We're meant to be on our phones, scrolling through social media, comparing ourselves to others. We're meant to try and compete in this endless ladder-climbing competition that is the business world. We're meant to abuse substances and try to drink our problems away or smoke our problems away. We're meant to constantly worry. We worry about the present and we worry about the future. If you don't have enough worry for your own self, then you'll worry about someone else. You worry about the friend or the family member's issue that's going on. You worry about your kids or your siblings. The world wants you consumed by anxiety, stress, and worry. Worry about everything other than eternity. It's all a smokescreen. It's all meant to keep your focus in the wrong place. In fact, focus is the root of the issue. One of the most common vision impairments for young children is lazy eye. Lazy eye is a condition in which one eye cannot focus the same way that the other eye does. And some of us have spiritual lazy eye. If you don't have lazy eye, that means your eyes can look straight ahead so you can see where you're going. Lazy eye makes it impossible for both eyes to look straight ahead. That causes issues with our vision. What we focus on, when we focus on what's around us, it causes us to be unable to focus on what's ahead, on where we're going. In the same way, when we focus on the world around us, on the temporary instead of eternity, that's when we find ourselves in trouble. And oh, how quickly do we focus on those temporal things? How quickly does our gaze and our focus drift from where it should be? It's just like Peter when he walks on water. We start to drown in our fears when our gaze shifts away from our Savior and onto our storm. And those dark clouds begin to surround us, and then we can't see. But right there, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the storm, comes the mighty hand of our Savior. He reaches into the darkness with his marvelous light. See, Jesus cures blindness by illuminating darkness. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 say this about him. It says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." See, what Jesus does is he turns the lights on. You can't open your own eyes. Your eyes have to be opened. Jesus alone opens our eyes. Jesus alone has the power to heal your blindness. There is no other name to call on. No other man heals blindness on his own power. It's only Jesus, when he enters into the darkness, by his very nature illuminates the darkness with his light so we can see. There are many ways that God turns the light on for us. I want to just talk about two of them. One way that he shines the light on in our lives is through the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures are all about Jesus. The Old Testament and New Testament both testify to the Savior. And in our Old Testament reading this morning, Psalm 119, in verse 105, it says that the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The Holy Spirit works through the Scriptures to shed light on the dark pathways of our lives. I've heard countless stories of people who came to know Jesus simply because they picked up a Bible. And in some of those cases, they picked one up to prove to themselves or others that the Scripture is not the truth. And they wound up unable to deny it because God opens our eyes through his word. Another way our eyes are opened is through his people. In John 8:12, Jesus calls himself the light of the world. But in Matthew 5:14, he actually says, "We are." He says, "You are the light of the world." The next verse says, "A city on a hill cannot be hidden." Now, that does not mean that we have the same power as Jesus, but rather, Jesus is the light. And once we come to know him through the Holy Spirit, that light lives inside of us. See, God is so good that not only does he illuminate the darkness that we walk through, but he graciously allows us to be a part of the process he uses to illuminate the darkness other people walk through as well. One way I've seen this happen is through music. At the beginning of this message, kind of more in the middle, I guess, I played a song for you. You guys remember that? A song that for many of you probably just sounded like a loud noise of instrumentation mixed with some guy speaking words that were hard to understand. But what if I told you that that rapper who made that song also serves as a pastor in Dallas? And what if I told you that that song and the album it came from have led people to Jesus? Can a rap song? I mean, rap music is what we're talking about here. Can a rap song really be that powerful? I want to look at a few of the lyrics and read them to you, just so you can understand the message of that song. So it says, "Our vision is looking blurred. We got to see 2020. Got ears but don't hear. Got eyes but don't see. Our God we don't fear. These rhymes are so we can peek off into the mind of God. He's holy. Our lives are so weak, but God is so heap. He's perfect and flawless. He stands as the standard. His stance is grand. Understand that he stands up. always upright. We got a chance since the ransom he paid at the cross. Now let's us find some answers. What kind of God would take some dudes and hand them eternal life for free through the grace that he grants them? By faith we've been changed, used to roll as his foes, but he rose and he chose. Now we clothed in his clothes. It's kind of crazy. We all had ambitions of getting dough, which Dan, getting dough means making money. I just want to make sure you can follow along. I don't want to leave you by the wayside here. I want you to follow me on this. He changed our character like an actor who's switching roles. This is to testify about the God that we live in, foe. And I'm just hoping this album will help you get to know him. See, this song is all about glorifying God and seeing him clearly. Lyrics to rap songs like this have actually had a profound impact on my life, truthfully. And on Damari as well, and D, you would say a number of our friends too, right? See, I've even heard stories of men who came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior simply because they heard about him from some rapper. Why is that relevant? What I'm saying is that God loves us so much, he'll use the things that we love to open our eyes to see his glory. There are 1.85 billion people worldwide as of 2022 that listen to rap music. 93 million Americans. Of course God would step in and call some of his followers to minister the gospel in that context. And rap is just one example. There are endless examples of unique, unconventional ways that Jesus opens the eyes of his people. We have another example for us here this morning with the group from Link that uses dance, uses the arts to minister the gospel. And they do it beautifully and gracefully, don't they? And I've been a part of FCA and Athletes in Action using the world of sports as a vehicle to share the gospel. See, there's no area of your life where the love of Christ can't touch you. Jesus reaches into our lives right where we are, using our interests, our desires, our cultures, our personalities. He makes it personal. At the end of the gospel reading that we had this morning, Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 22, Jesus pulls the man at Bethsaida off to the side. So the crowd pulled him to Jesus, but Jesus heals his blindness one-on-one. It wasn't about the crowd. It wasn't about anyone else. It was about Jesus' love for that one man. Jesus always makes it personal. He loves you so much. Jesus works a lot like this pair of glasses. See, without him, I could never see clearly. I mean, there's 3 pages of notes on here right now. I can't read it. But he's always right there, desiring to grow closer to me. And just like my glasses, I'm reminded every morning just how much I need him. Because I don't know about you, but I don't sleep with my glasses on. So when I wake up, I'm reminded, oh yeah, I can't see. I'm reminded every day just how much I need him and his light. Thank you, Jesus, that you open our eyes. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you.